Back in 1973, country music legend Johnny Cash gave his daughter Roseanne a list of the 100 songs he considered essential. In 2009, Roseanne Cash released an album inspired by that list. Now, music critic Michael Streisguth takes us behind the scenes in his book, Always Been There, Roseanne Cash, The List, and the Spirit of Southern Music. Streisguth is an authority on Johnny Cash, and as he told Steve Paulson,
Roseanne told me that her father was quite concerned when they would talk about country music and the canon, if you will, that she just didn't have much knowledge at all. And that was really the impetus for him to disappear in a part of the bus and scroll down these 100 songs.
These were the 100 songs he called the essential country songs, which I suppose he might have called the essential American songs.
Yes, and from what Roseanne tells me, Cash did draw from gospel and the blues and folk in compiling this list. So it just wasn't Jimmy Rogers and Hank Williams and Lefty Frizzell. It was Woody Guthrie and Bob Dylan as well.
But you write that once she got interested in this project, she couldn't find the list. This list of the 100 essential songs that her father put together, and here she was hunting through her house and didn't know where it had gone.
You know, I was really surprised that Roseanne gave me so much access in writing this book. And part of that access meant going with her into the attic while she sifted through files and scrapbooks and behind paintings and in guitar cases looking for this list. She talked about that quite philosophically because while I was with her, the list never turned up. And she was forced to recreate the list from her memory of the list. And she said it really became a richer experience because if she had had the actual list, she would have said, okay, well, I'll do this one, this one, this one. But in trying to reconstruct the list, she was really forced to try to get inside her father's head and think about what he was thinking when he compiled this list. And for her, she said, it became a much richer experience, a much more meaningful interaction with her father's legacy.
But it also suggests a complicated relationship that Roseanne Cash must have had with her father that in some ways she didn't want to just be under his thumb. I mean, you know, she hid it somewhere because it would seem she didn't want to just, as she was sort of coming into her own as a singer-songwriter, she didn't want to just do what he told her to do.
Well, I think you said that. I mean, that's one of the major themes running through Roseanne Cash's career, this idea of finding one's own place away from one's parents. It's really what we all experience.
But when your father is Johnny Cash, that ups it several notches.
Well, that's the twist. The shadow spans much farther. She has much more work to do to get out from under his gnarly oak tree. I think putting away the list was part of separating herself from her father. I mean, this wasn't the only aspect of this separation. She often refused his requests to perform with him. As she began to develop her own solo career, she pulled her songs out of his publishing company. She would tell the press that, yeah, he's my dad, and he gives me advice, and sometimes I take it, and sometimes I don't. I think coming back to the list has been a way of coming back to her father.
Well, tell me about some of the songs on the list, which is the title of her album. Are there any in particular that really stand out to you?
Well, I think Miss the Mississippi and You is actually the first track on the album. It's a song that was popularized by Jimmy Rogers.
I'm growing tired of the big city lights. Tired of the glamour and tired of the sights. And all of my dreams I am roaming once more. Back to my home on the old river shore. Nothing seems to cheer me under heaven's dome. Miss the Mississippi and you.
I was struck one day during this process that she went through we were getting ready to go to the studio, and she knew she was to record the song that day. She ran upstairs to her computer and logged onto the internet and found the lyrics to the song on Bob Dylan's website, of all places. And I was really struck by that ballad chain just at that moment. I mean, here, in a way, communicating through modern technology and through the embodiment of Bob Dylan on the internet, was the grandfather of country music, Jimmy Rogers, and a granddaughter.
Miss the Mississippi and you.
Let's talk about some of the other songs on Roseanne's album, The List. One is her version of the Patsy Cline classic, She's Got You. What did she do with that song?
At first, she harked back to her very intense interest in Patsy Cline. I think she admires Patsy Cline's attitude. I mean, Patsy Cline, as far as we know, didn't take any guff from anybody, sang the songs she wanted to sing, very much succeeded in what was most definitely a man's world in Nashville in the late 1950s and the 1960s. Actually, Johnny Cash, her father, brought Patsy Cline to their home back in the early 60s. Patsy would tour with Johnny occasionally. And at this particular time, she was pretty bruised and beaten up as a result of a conflict with a male, somebody she was with. And she, in essence, came back to the house to recuperate. And Roseanne's mother told her about Patsy being at their home, and she has no recollection of that, but she really strives to try to remember something, to try to link to that moment in some ethereal way. And I think her recording of She's Got You is perhaps an effort to link back to that elusive period of time when she was around Patsy Cline.
I've got your memory, or has it got me? I really don't know, but I know it won't let me be. I've got your class ring that proved you cared, and it still
I think another complication, perhaps, of Roseanne Cash's relationship with her father, Johnny, is that Johnny left her mother. He left Vivian to go off with another woman, the woman who later became his wife, June Carter Cash. Did Roseanne hold that against her father?
Well, you know, she would say that, in fact, the wedge that was driven between her and her father and her mother and her father was drug use, and that, in fact, he became unavailable long before he became unavailable because of June Carter. I would have thought that there would be some more resentment there. For example, it was quite surprising to me that when she graduated from high school, she fled to Nashville. I thought, well, you're fleeing to this man who abandoned your family. It turns out there was difficulty in her relationship with her mother as well. She felt very judged by her mother, smothered by her mother. Interestingly enough, in the early 70s there, when she got the list from her father, she felt a freedom in Nashville, and she felt that it was a very much a time of their reacquaintance.
10 years ago, on a cold, dark night, there was someone killed neath the town hall light. There were few at the scene, but they all did agree that the slayer who ran looked a lot like me.
Do you think she came to reconcile with her father and her father's legacy to some degree by working on this album, The List?
I think so. And that was really one of the points of curiosity wrapped around this project. I was interested in knowing how this album project was affecting her relationship with her father and her father's legacy. And in fact, one moment up there in that attic where the list was hiding somewhere, I asked her that. Where does she find her father in all of this? And she said, with my father gone now, it's really the music that helps me link to him. That's all I have to allow me to bond with him anymore. And I thought that was quite poignant, quite touching, actually.
Nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody knows but me.
Now, I'm curious, did the experience of working on this book change the way you think about the history of Southern music or what makes a classic song?
I thought a lot about the tragedy, I suppose, the poverty that is our country's snubbing of our own tradition. We don't hark back enough to the great songwriters and songs and song traditions. And I think the album really drove home for me this importance of bringing the songs to new generations, that they are living, breathing things. They're not museum pieces. They still speak to the human experience, to the American experience. The List, I think, is valuable because of that.
So in some ways, classic songs need to always be reinterpreted by new artists.
Well, that's what makes them classic songs. It's the songs that aren't reinterpreted that are so connected to the original artist that they can't be reinterpreted, that perhaps in the end are wanting, that are not classics.
The big eight wheeler rolling down the track means your true love and mama ain't a coming back.
That's Roseanne Cash. We heard Michael Streisguth talking with Steve Paulson. Streisguth is an authority on The Man in Black, Johnny Cash. He and Steve were talking about his most recent book, Always Been There, Roseanne Cash, The List, and the Spirit of Southern Music.